Romans chapter 12 in your Bibles this evening. We have been going to this chapter for the last couple weeks during our Bible study, and we'll be returning there again this evening as we continue looking at this theme of transformation, this thought that God wants to transform us. So Romans chapter 12, the focus of this paragraph that opens after the first couple of verses there in verse 3 is the provision of God's grace and the response that it prompts. And so already we need to get our minds thinking along those lines. God's grace and the response that it prompts. By the way, aren't you grateful for God's grace? Wow. What would we be apart from God's grace? Where would we be? What hope could we have for eternity apart from the grace of God? It's a wonderful truth in the Bible, and I'm excited about what God teaches us about the provision of His grace and the response that it prompts in this text. So let's examine what Paul has to say about it in Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. As for several weeks we have studied this theme of transformation, we have seen, and I hope by now understand, that God wants to change us. He wants to do a work in us to make us more like His Son Jesus. He wants to change us in the very core and foundation of our being. We understand that salvation springs from God's grace, but so too does sanctification. Grace runs throughout this passage. You'll notice in verse 3 that Paul says that it was grace given to him that allowed him even to share these truths. Then he writes to us of the gifts that are given by grace, which are themselves manifestations of grace. Verse 6 again. He speaks of these gifts that we have because of grace. But the gifts themselves are manifestations of grace. In both verses, verse 3 and verse 6, grace is connected with the word given. So grace is not some abstract idea that is intangible. No, it is something that is concrete, that I can tangibly know and experience. It is something that is given to me. Grace and what comes from grace is not earned. It's not something rewarded. It is free, unmerited gift. And it connects with these gifts that are distributed in verse number 6. Gifts is the same word in the original as the word translated grace. And so these gifts identify a provision of grace, a gracious gift, what is graciously given, a provision of grace. And so in this text, I see three provisions of grace that flow from our salvation, but also relate to our transformation. So these gifts come to you when you become a child of God, but they grow, and God continues to work them in us as he transforms us into the image of his Son. What are these three provisions of grace? Will you notice, number one, God's grace provides a forewarning. God's grace provides a forewarning. And by the way, just for fun, I asked my wife this question the other day. Maybe someone here can help me with it. What's the difference between a forewarning and a warning? Does anyone know? I'm not sure I know. I mean, I would hope a warning would come before whatever I'm being warned about happens, right? Anyway, that's just for fun. It has nothing to do with the message. Someone can help me with that, please. I would appreciate it. You'll notice in the text that Paul addresses every man. Do you see that in verse number 3? He says he's penning this to every man that is among you. And by the way, that's not specific to the male gender. It's to everyone, every person, every individual. He's writing to us. And he's giving us this warning. There is some exclusion in the text because you'll remember he is writing to those who have experienced what God does for and in us through the gospel. So it's not that he's writing to every human being, but he is writing to every child of God. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior tonight, Romans 12:3 is for you. He is addressing you. He continues in verse 3 addressing our mind, doesn't he? In verse number 2, he told us to be transformed by the renewing of what? The mind, our mind, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And now in verse number 3, this warning has to do with our thinking, our thoughts. So he's still addressing our mind. He has just exhorted us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Now he challenges us about our thoughts, a particular area in which we struggle that needs to be transformed. And he deals with it, especially in relation to what we think of ourselves. We have a natural human tendency to think too highly of ourselves, which is most usually demonstrated by thinking too much about ourselves. I experienced this myself in the last few weeks and was corrected in my reading of God's word. Several weeks ago, I was asked to come and speak at the Rocky Mount Your Choice Resource Center, the local pregnancy resource center, for their prayer summit that was held on January 20th. And for a few weeks leading up to it, I was stressing a little about what I should share with them. And part of that stressing about it was knowing the challenges that they face in that ministry and knowing the challenges that have been added over the last couple of years with all the changes and the pandemic world in which we live, I was really desirous to go in and encourage them, to lift up their spirits. And I was stressing about it. How am I going to encourage them? How am I going to lift up their spirits? The morning I was to meet with them, I read in Haggai, chapter 1, verses 12 through 15. And the Lord used it in two ways in my life to correct me. First was with the message. Haggai 1, 12 through 15 shares an account of when the prophet Haggai went to God's people who were supposed to be repairing and rebuilding God's temple, and they weren't. They were sitting and doing nothing. And God sent Haggai to them with a sermon, with a message. This was the message. I am with you, saith the Lord. Depending on how you want to look at it, it was a four-word or a seven-word sermon. You know what happened? The very next verse tells us that the people got up and got to work. You say, Pastor, why don't you preach more four-word sermons? We can talk about that another time. I understand. But God showed me a brief message moved God's people, encouraged them, got them going. Second, I realized this. All it took was God's messengers simply taking God's message to God's people. Four words, seven words, depending on how you look at it. But all that was needed to move God's people to do the work of God in a mighty way was God's messenger taking God's word to God's people. And God showed me something. Mike, you're thinking too highly of yourself. You're thinking too much about yourself. Are you ever guilty of this? Sometimes we get the impression that thinking too highly of ourselves is simply when I am overconfident, when I'm arrogant, when I think that my way is better than everybody else's way, when my thinking on a particular matter is right and everybody else's is wrong, that I've got the right view of this or I'm just better than everybody else. We kind of put thinking too highly of ourselves in that box, and that's the only box that's in. But do you understand tonight that thinking too highly of yourself can simply be acted out in thinking too much about yourself? Whether it's an arrogant, overconfident, or it's a woe is me, I've got to fix this. If it's not going right, it's because of me. If my life is a mess, it's all me. And I've got to do it. I've got to get out of it. Thinking too much about yourself. Listen to me carefully. When you are thinking too highly of yourself, in whatever form that takes, you end up thinking too little of God. You catch that? When you are thinking too highly of yourself, you end up thinking too little of God. When your thoughts are consumed, when my thoughts are consumed with self, in whatever form that takes, whether it's overconfident arrogance, self-confident boasting, or it's just simply the other side of it, the false humility type side of it, you're still thinking too much about yourself, which leads to thinking too little about God. We need to replace thinking too highly of self with thinking soberly. That's what he says in the text, isn't it? Romans 12:3. He tells us, don't think too highly of yourself, but rather think soberly. This includes being of a sound mind, being sane, being moderate. It denotes freedom from intoxicating influences, a mind free from control of a dangerous outside source. Now, again, we tend to put those things in a box. We might go to Ephesians chapter 5 and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And we think intoxicating influence, well, alcohol. I don't drink alcohol, perhaps you might think, so that can't be me. Listen, friends, thinking soberly means my mind is free from the control of some dangerous influence of whatever kind. It can be any kind of addiction. It can be any type of substance that takes some measure of control in your life. There are a lot of substances like that out there in the world, aren't there? And the Bible says we need to be careful of those things. We need to be careful that we allow ourselves to have a mind that is guided and directed by the Spirit of God and the Word of God. We have a mind that is free from the control of other items, of other influences. He tells us that we need to be free of any influence that would lead us away from sound judgment. And this is a pitfall of thinking too highly of self. It leads away from sound discernment and judgment. When I am thinking too much of myself and thus thinking too little of God, I cannot be sound in the way that I discern and judge things. And that results in faulty and forgetful thinking that neglects and negates the work of God's grace in my life. And it demonstrates a mind that still needs transformation. By the way, when we think about thinking too highly or thinking too much about yourself, it's not that you need to think less of yourself, but that you think you need to think of yourself less. Not think less of yourself, but think of yourself less and acknowledge God's grace in your life. And so, if you will, God's grace provides a forewarning. Be warned about thinking too highly of yourself in whatever form that takes, thinking too much of yourself. It's not teaching us to think less of ourselves, but to think of ourselves less and acknowledge God's grace in our lives that's available to us. Number two, I want you to see this. God's grace provides a family. God's grace provides a family. Look back at verses 4 and 5, and you'll notice this theme running through here. For we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members of one another. Note the characteristics and the connections through these two verses. We have many members, but one body. We have various offices, but all are needed and connected. We are a family in Christ. Friends, if you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible declares, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Romans chapter 8 tells us that when we trust Christ as Savior, we are adopted into the family of God. Paul talks about this in Galatians, Ephesians chapter 1, the adoption whereby we are made the sons of God. We're a family. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. Together, we make up his body. Each of us has unique gifts and roles, but we all make up his body, his family, and we are all needed and connected. Now, I'm going to demonstrate the age of my children a little bit to use this illustration, and some of you perhaps have not seen this film, but Disney has a new film called Encanto. I don't know if you've seen it or not. It's one of their cute little kids' movies. But I actually think this film illustrates this pretty well. In that film, Encanto, there's this family who have been blessed with various gifts. Each member of the family has a unique, magical gift. And they use their gifts to help the family and to help their surrounding community. But something happens. The gifts, the magic that they seem to have begins to fade. And as the film continues, what happens is that there's division within the family that has grown over the years. And as that division has grown, it has caused that the gifts are fading. They're not effective anymore. They're not useful anymore. And it's not until that division is dealt with and unity is restored that the family is able to recover their gifts and continue helping their family and community. The Bible teaches us that we are a family. We're all connected. We're all needed. Yes, there's variety. Yes, we are unique in our individual ways. By the way, that's on purpose. For we are fearfully and wonderfully made, Psalm 139 says. 1 Corinthians 12 tells us that God's Spirit has divided severally, variously, to every man as he will. We are different by design. We are different on purpose. God has made us distinct and unique for a particular reason. Yet we're all connected and we're all needed. By God's grace, you've been placed into this family when you trust Jesus as your Savior. Now, if you've not trusted Jesus as your Savior, God's grace is available to you through Christ. No one is denied or turned away who come to God through Jesus in faith. And if you've not received salvation, you can receive him and become a part of his family through believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you have trusted Jesus, you're in that family. You're a part of his body. You've been connected. And you are needed. Praise God and participate in the family that he has placed you in. The believer is not intended to live, grow, and serve in isolation. Do you understand that tonight? God never designed you to live, to grow, and to serve in isolation. On your own, as an individual, as you go through life. No, God brought you into a community. He placed you in a family that makes up his body. By his grace, he has done that. And by the way, in case you needed the reminder, there's no perfect family. If you've forgotten that, just take a look at your own. Okay? There's not perfection. There is not perfection in your individual family. There's not perfection in any local grouping of God's family called the local church. You're not going to find a perfect community of believers. You're not going to find a perfect church. God is perfect. But until we get to heaven, all of us are not. But God has provided grace, and his grace provides us with so much. So let's make sure we're passing it on. That's a part of this truth of God's grace. We're not a perfect family, but God has provided grace to us. His grace has provided us with so much. So let's pass it on. Let's share his grace with one another. God's grace provides us with a family. Would you notice, thirdly, God's grace provides us a focus and a function. God's grace provides us a focus and a function. Verses 6 or 8, would you notice them again, please? He says this, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. We've been given grace. The grace has provided gifts, and the gifts themselves are demonstrations of grace. And he goes on to say, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. God's grace is demonstrated in gifts. Now, I've preached through these gifts previously, and it's not my specific intention in the message today to do that. Rather, I want to draw your attention to the overall direction of the passage. God's grace is demonstrated in gifts. That's what Paul is trying to tell us. God has given each of us grace that is provided gifts, and the gifts themselves are demonstrations of grace. We are recipients of God's grace. We are to reflect God's grace. The gifts themselves are just that. But here's the question. Why does God's grace work this way in our lives? Why does God's grace provide us with gifts that are themselves demonstrations of grace? Let me ask it this way. What is your focus when you think about the body, the family God has placed you in? God's grace provides you with a family. That same grace has provided you with gifts, this focus that we should have in our mind and a function that we should perform. What is your focus, though, when you think about the body? What if your right hand or your dominant hand, some of you may be left-handed, I know my dad is, Gabe is. What if your dominant hand suddenly decided on its own, I am not serving this body anymore. This body is serving me. That'd be a little strange, wouldn't it? That wouldn't work too well. I'm right-handed. If suddenly one day my right hand decided, I'm not serving you anymore, you're serving me, and I had to do everything left-handed, I'd be a mess. I don't know if I could even feed myself properly that way. I just don't use my left hand for a whole lot. The illustration doesn't fit perfectly because I think there are times to be served. There are times when it's okay for us to allow someone else to serve us. If I can say specifically right now, it's okay for the Ronnie Wester family to allow us to serve them right now. It's okay. But here's the issue. Our human nature seeks not to serve, but to be served. That's natural. Your fallen nature and mine looks for, I want to be served, rather than I want to serve. Some approach the body, I'm talking about his family, talking about the church, looking to be served rather than to serve. They look for a local church on the basis of whether or not that local church already has everything in place that they think will benefit them that they need, rather than looking for a church that they recognize God has gifted them to be a benefit to. Friends, as you study the scripture, over and over again, what Paul teaches us in Romans 12 is what God's word teaches us. He brings us to the body. He provides us with a family. He places us in that place to serve, not necessarily to be served. Again, there's nothing wrong with being served. There are times in our lives when that's okay, and we are to serve one another. But the point is this, what is your focus? Are you looking to be served, or are you looking to serve? Are you looking for what will benefit you, or are you looking for how can I benefit the body? God has gifted me. God has gifted you uniquely, distinctly. He has given you his provision of grace, placed you in a family where you are connected and where you are needed to serve. I'm not saying this to discourage anyone, rather to encourage you. Friends, it's encouraging that you've been gifted by God and that you are a blessing to the family. All of us are. Recognize it. I think this is one of those areas where we can get caught up thinking too highly of ourselves. We think too much about ourselves, and we think, well, I can't do that, and I can't do this, and I can't be a blessing. I just don't have any of the abilities or the resources to be a blessing to anybody. No, stop thinking so much about yourself that you're thinking so little of God, okay? Recognize God has gifted you. God has given you a provision of grace and placed you in a family where you are needed and can be a blessing. Receive the truth. Respond to it. I want you to notice the similar thought that was penned by the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 4. Notice what he says there in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. He says this, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. And notice especially verses 10 and 11. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. This is my favorite part right here. If any man minister, what does that next phrase say? Let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I love that statement in verse 11. As of the ability which God giveth. You say, I don't know how God wants me to be a blessing to the family. I don't know how God wants me to serve and to benefit the family. I don't know what God wants me to bring to the table. Can I just be very simple? God wants you to bring to the table what he's blessed you with. The ability that he's given you. God expects no more of you than what his grace provides to you and for you. That's all he expects. Now, does that mean God will never push us out of our comfort zone and just work in us in that way? No, he's working to transform us. He's changing us. He's making us more like Jesus. That's going to include sometimes being pushed out of a comfort zone. But it does mean that God will provide for you where he guides you. He'll never expect more of you than what his grace provides to you and for you. It means that you are able to be a blessing to his family. It means that you can serve him faithfully without fear, because his grace is providing you with what you need. Understand and utilize your God-given focus and function in his family. He's gifted you. He's provided for you to be a blessing, to serve. It's been said this way before, you've been blessed to be a blessing, and that is so true. Utilize what God has blessed you with, what his grace has provided to you to serve in the family that he's placed you in. Tonight, as we think about the provision of God's grace, I'm so thankful that God's grace is available to us through Jesus, aren't you? That he's provided us salvation. No one is denied or turned away who come to him by faith. And if you've not received salvation and become part of his family, believe on Jesus Christ. And if you have believed on Christ, his grace has provided so much for you. How are you responding to and using what God's grace has provided? Recognize and respond to the provision of his grace. Praise God. Participate in the family he's placed you in. This is part of the transformation he wants to work in you. It's one we have to respond to. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me this evening? God is working to transform us. I'm so thankful for what his grace has provided. The forewarning of this passage, the family he's placed me in, the focus, the function he's given me. But we have to receive it. We have to respond to it. We have to make the decision to take God's grace and put it to use in our lives. And if God is speaking to your heart about that, whether you need Christ or whether you simply need to respond by praising the Lord, participating in the family he's placed you in, utilizing the provision of his grace in your life to serve. However God is speaking, you respond as he leads you. Father, thank you so much for your word, for how you teach us, how you grow us through it. And Lord, I pray tonight that you would help us to respond as you lead, that if there's a commitment of salvation that someone here or watching needs to make, if there's a commitment to praising you or participating in your family in a deeper, more committed way, if there's that need to utilize the grace that you've provided in our life and the gift that has come with it, Lord, I pray that you would help us to take that step, make that decision, that we would be faithful to it. Lord, that you'd continue to grow us and make us more like Jesus for your glory. Thank you so much, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.